Well, before I bring the word this morning, I've asked Jordan to bring a song. As you know, today will be the second week of a series that we're going to be in, A New Beginning. And just before I bring the word this morning, I've asked Jordan to sing this song for us. Listen to the words.
I'm caught up in your presence, and I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to Jesus, oh, and I'm sorry. to where we started. I open up my heart to you, Jesus. Oh, and I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. Lord, I'm sorry when I forgot that you're more than enough. Oh, and I'm sorry, Lord, when I forgot to rely on you, Lord. I'm sorry when I forgot to trust in you, Lord. I'm sorry that I forgot that you were Yahweh. Lord, take me back to where we started. I open up my heart.
Raise your hands to the Lord this morning. Father, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for a new start. Thank you, Lord, for a new start. That you make all things new. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Jordan. Awesome. Isaiah 43:19 says this. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Sometimes we try things over and over again. Sometimes we try things over and over. We expect different results, and we try them over and over again, expect different. And every time we try them the same way we try it, we get the same results. I want to talk about that for a little bit. God wants to do something new. God wants to bring a new beginning in your life. But sometimes we have to do things different in order to get a different result. You know, it seems simplistic. It seems real practical. Seems too practical. That's not spiritual enough. God wants to do a new thing. God wants to bring a new beginning in your life, every one of our lives. He wants to do something new in us, and sometimes that requires that we do something different. So I said last week was part one of the series I feel like we needed to begin 2019 with. Today's part two. This will be a four-part series, and what I'm doing is taking biblical principles and just teaching what God's word says to, just applying them to our life. And I believe if we do that, if we just take these principles that I'm giving, and I'm not saying that it's that we're here one moment and change the next moment as soon as we walk out. We can be. But don't be discouraged if it doesn't happen that quick. Sometimes God's walking us through a process. And sometimes that process is part of our healing and part of us coming to that new beginning. So we don't have to, don't be discouraged today. You don't have to cope and live with things as they are. Sometimes we just settle for things as they are because that's the way they've always been. This is what it's been. And as I talked last week, sometimes we see that our families have struggled with the same thing, so we take on that responsibility. Well, they've struggled with this, and I'm going to struggle with it too. That's what they've been faced with, and that's what I'm going to be faced with too. No, if it's not God's plan, it's God's will for you to come out and to have victory over every part of your life. And so I want to tell you and show you that victory can be yours through the instruction of the Word of God. And so Jesus came to save us. But when Jesus came to save us, it was to save us from the inside. It was to change us from the inside. Many times we feel like we've got to change things on the outside first. We've got to do something outwardly. We've got to make changes here for everybody to see before it gets into us. Now, I'm a believer in many times we have to follow through and to do things, walking through a miracle in our life, that we have to proclaim things by the Word of God. We haven't seen it yet with the physical eyes, but we proclaim things and walk in faith, believing that it's done before we actually experience it being done. But what I'm saying is that when the Lord makes a change in us, we don't necessarily see the result of it outside. We experience the result of it inside first. And so that's what Jesus came to do. He came to change our hearts. Because if he can change our hearts, if he can if he can cause us to be changed on the inside, then it's going to reflect on the outside. And so this year, I want us to experience, you know, we come to this time of the year, and a couple of weeks ago, we faced January 1st, and we have New Year's resolutions, and many times our New Year's resolutions are the same exact ones that we had 12 months earlier, and 12 months earlier, and 12 months earlier, and we get to January 1st, and I'm going to start running 3 miles a day, and we do that for about 2 days, and I don't feel like doing it, so I'm going to take a break today. I'll start back tomorrow, and tomorrow doesn't come until next January 1st. But I believe that the changes that we need to experience, the changes that Jesus came for us to experience every day, is for us to have a permanent change on the inside. And rather than a striving and striving and striving and striving for us to see that change on the outside, I want to propose to you by the Word of God, by principles in the Word of God, that we can change on the inside. And then let the New Year's resolution be revelation. You know, New Year's revelation. Where we can see what God's wanting to do in our life and experience it. As we talked about last week, we talked about a real popular topic called addiction. And we found out through that word, addiction, that we're all addicts to something. We get this idea of addicts and different real heavy things to where it's just challenging in life, to where it just disables you from doing anything else in life. But as we talked about last week, we're all addicts to something. It could be Facebook. It could be food. It could be missing church. We're addicts to something that takes precedence over our relationship with God. So we talked about that. And the key to addiction is prayer and fasting. Well, can't you come up with a more complicated answer than that? That's what the Word of God said. We talked about that last week. And during these next couple more weeks, we'll be talking about things like anger and anxiety and stress and self-portrait, all those good topics that we need to hear at the beginning of 2019. If we look at these things in the Word of God, I believe it'll change us to where we can experience life in 19 that we've never experienced before. And it's not a matter of age. I mean, if we're living and breathing, God has something even greater for us, something better for us. So let's look at the Word of God. What I want to talk about today is a topic that's really difficult to talk about. It's hard to talk about. And many times when we hear this word, again, we kind of talk about, well, I hope he's here. I hope she's here. I wish they could hear this sermon. But let's look at it today is how can it apply to me? How can what God says about this, what the Word of God says about this, believe it or not, this topic is in here. I'll show you. How can it apply to me? How can I change on the inside? And the topic today I want to talk about is depression. Depression. Now, this is not going to be a depressing topic. But we're going to talk about depression. And if we really look at it, we can see that we've all faced it in one way or another. Now, I'll share a season of time that I experienced it too. But I'm not saying that I've experienced it in ways that maybe some of you have. Some of you have experienced a deep, dark depression that has been disabling. And I'm not talking about this topic lightly. And so understand from the beginning that I'm here to bring this out, to expose this so that we can see it and look at it and see what God's word says about this today. Amen? But when I was about 14 years old, as many of you know, when I was 13 years old, my mother passed away suddenly. And it changed my life. It completely changed my life. So at age 13, I came into a season that I didn't know anything about. As 13-year-old, where my mom, she was 35 years old, and she carried much of the weight of the family. You know, she was the cooker, the cleaner. She was my mama. She spanked me. She loved me. I love my mama. And all you that have had great moms, you know that, you know, mom's special. And thank God for mamas. But ages 14 to 15, as a young boy, I faced things that I didn't understand. And my dad remarried 4 months after my mom passed away. So February, my mom passed away. In June, I was introduced to this lady as my new mom. And so I faced things the rest of age 13. October of that year, I turned 14. So 14 to 15, I understand that to just get away from it all and get away from things that I didn't know what was going on, I didn't understand it, that I would put myself in a room and close the door and just wonder, you know, what's really going on here? These feelings that I'm feeling, all these things, what do I do with this? Didn't feel like I had anybody to talk to. And my buddies, they didn't, you know, they were they were all about having fun and doing all the things that 14-year-old boys like to do. And I enjoyed that. That kind of took me away from the pressure of life that I experienced. But there were some things that I didn't experience. At one point, I even felt like it was my fault that Mom died. So that's how depression starts. It's a thought process that we think that we come to a conclusion about, that we stay there until that point of thought, that thought process takes us deeper and deeper and deeper. And so that's a brief story of what I feel like that as a young boy brought me through seasons of life that I experienced some type of depression. And depression, really, I heard a definition this way and really think it's appropriate. It's a hopelessness that is not consistent with reality. Depression is a hopelessness that is not consistent with reality. In my particular situation, 14 years old, who would care? My thought was, who would care? Well, my hopelessness was not the same as reality. The reality was that somebody cared. Somebody did love me. We're going to see here that David had some of the same situations, the same problems. We read Psalms, and many times we don't understand. One moment David is praise God, he's lifting his hands, thank God for his goodness, and the other one, he's just really going through it. He's facing some tough stuff. And I believe that maybe David, if David were here today, he could share us a few things about depression. So let's take part of this to start with here, and we'll unfold it in the next few moments. Psalm 42, verses 3 through 5, David says this: my tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? Verse 4, when I remember these things. That's our first clue right there, that our thinking has a lot to do with our mental state. Has a lot to do with where we are, our direction. When I remember, it's what David kept thinking about and remembering that got him to the place of him writing these words. He goes on to say in verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I used to go with the multitude. Things used to be better. I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. This is what I used to do, David said, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we say, well, you know, back in the day, this was that. Those are the good old days. We're talking about those days as the good old days. And it's kind of like what David's saying here. I'm at wit's end here. I don't know what else to do, but I used to do this. I used to have a voice of joy and praise with a multitude. I used to go with the people and have a good time with a multitude. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul? David gets down on himself here. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted? Why are you disturbed? Why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. As we see, David went in verse 2, tears have been my food day and night, to verse 5, hope in my God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. So David's writing this psalm, and really, it's an important truth to us. It lets us know that the root of depression is our thinking. The root, and I'm not saying it's the all cause. I'm not saying that it's the answer. I'm saying that it's the root. Our thinking is the root cause, I believe, of depression. And we can see that here in David. Why? He was remembering in his downward spiral of his thinking and his obvious state of depression, thinking of things when they were not really real. So we see how powerful thinking is. It says in Proverbs 23:7, for as he thinks in his heart, what does it say? So is he. That's how big thinking is. Big thinking is so big that what we think, we become. How I think is really a reflection of who I am, who I become, and what comes out of me. It's It's my thinking in my heart, my thinking in my mind, thinking in my spirit. That's what I become. So we've got a huge truth here that I believe we need to notate, and that is, I can't change my life until I change my thinking. We want to change, but until we change our thinking, we can't change. See, that's what God wants to help us do today, is to change our thinking. Is that possible to change our thinking? Of course it is. Everybody, every single one of us, everybody that has breath in their body and blood in their veins has a bad thought from time to time. Everybody has some bad stinking thinking. Everybody. And if we stay in that stinking thinking, that bad thinking, we will come to a place of depression. Because if we really, you know, I have been in a place where I see a bad situation coming, and the more I think about that thing, the more it bothers me. My stomach hurts, my palms sweat, I'm dreading it. It's awful, and I don't like that. And so I have to realize that my thinking is causing me to feel this way. Nobody, no thing, no situation necessarily is making me feel this way. But until I change my thinking, I cannot change my life. And so where does bad thinking come from? Well, let's talk about it. The bad thinking first comes from the devil. Now, we all know that Satan lies, the devil lies. But when we're in the middle of a thought process and something bad comes to our mind, we don't really remember that the lie comes from the devil. And so we dwell on that lie. They don't like me. I sound funny. Why does life happen to me? Why I'm always like this? You know. So we listen to the lies of the devil as truth. It's not reality, but we listen to it as truth, and then we repeat it. Then we think about it, and it causes a downward spiral. So the first place that bad thinking comes from is the devil. Well, it says in John 8:44 what the devil has come to do. You are your father, talking of the devil, And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Speaking of the devil, no truth in him. When he, the devil, speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He's a liar, so he lies. For he is a liar, the Bible says, and the father of it. Listen, no lie ever comes from Jesus. If it's a lie, if it's not the truth, and you know that it's not the truth, it does not come from the Lord. Case closed. All lies come from the pits of hell. All lies come from the devil. So if you hear a lie, if you've been told a lie, if you've been caused to believe a lie, that is all from the devil. So the devil wants you to believe a lie, if it's about yourself or someone else. As a matter of fact, in Revelation it says that the devil accuses you. He blames you for anything he can blame you for. So not only does he lie, but he accuses you. And so the Bible says that he's the accuser of the brethren. He came to accuse you, to deceive you, to kill you, to take you out. And whatever he can do in the meantime between here and there, he's going to do that. But it's going to be from a lying standpoint. The devil cannot tell the truth. Now, he can mix some lies in with the truth to make it look a little better and to smell better and to make it look like that it's good and ready to eat. But on the inside, it's full of death. It's full of lies. But we as a child of God, we are protected. God protects us as a child of God to where we cannot be touched by the lies of the devil. So if we stand in that, if we operate in that, and we're always reminding ourselves, I'm a child of God, I'm not listening to the lies. When we walk in that truth, then we don't listen to the lies. But what the devil can do, he can drop a thought in our head. He can drop a thought. I've had somebody tell me before, I wonder where that thought came from. I wonder where that lie came from. We know where the lie comes from. But it's when it's mixed enough with truth, what he can do is cause a thought to pop into your head. He can't force it in there, but he can drop it in there to where you bring harm to yourself. He can't bring harm to you. Remember, the Lord's protecting you. You're a child of God. He's protected you. You are in the presence of God. But the devil is all around us. I mean, he is everywhere. He's the father of lies, and he is all in the world. I mean, from Washington to Miami and Hollywood to wherever, New York. He's everywhere. You know, the devil's... But he's not greater, he's not more powerful than Jesus Christ. So as a child of God, as we proclaim the protection of Jesus Christ in our life, the blood of Jesus Christ, the cross of Jesus Christ, as we proclaim that, the truth of the Word of God, he has no influence in our life whatsoever. But we as humans sometimes step outside of that to where there's enough lie mixed in there to where that doubt, that lie drops in our head, and then it causes us to doubt ourselves, causes us to doubt our salvation, causes us to doubt the love of Jesus Christ to us. So the devil is the first place that this bad thinking comes from. David knew this when he wrote Psalm 13:2. Psalm 13:2 says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me?" Sometimes we say the same thing. We think, well, David should have been close enough to God. He should have known. Why did he write these words? Because he was listening to the influence of the devil, the thought that the devil dropped in his mind, and so he was thinking that his enemy was exalted above him. Was that true? No, it wasn't true. He was deceived. The second source of bad thinking is the world. We've already touched on that, the world. We could turn on the television, and if you base your life on what you see on that television, it's not leading to heaven. Let's put it short. The world pollutes us. It pollutes you. It destroys our good thinking. It causes us to think in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. And so the world is a second source of bad thinking. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18 says, "This I say therefore, testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles." In other words, don't walk as the world walks. In the futility. What does futility mean? It means fruitlessness, vanity, pointless, worldly thoughts. If we walk in that, that's the way the Gentiles walk. And it goes on to say, "of their mind, having their understanding darkened." Isn't that an interesting combination of words? Darkened. Most people that have experienced any sort of depression, whether it's light or whether it's heavy depression, always refers to it as a state of darkness. There's no light in depression. There's no happy in depression. There's nothing encouraging in depression. It's a state of darkness. That's what he's talking about here in verse 18 of Ephesians 4. Their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. As I said a while ago, it disconnects us from the very life of God. And anything that God does in our life is going does within us is always going to bring life. It's always going to bring encouragement. It's always, you know, we see it as, well, man, that's too hard. That's really difficult to do. It's a lot easier to stay where I'm at so I don't have to do this or do that. Well, that's a lie from the pits of hell too, because then we're basing our salvation on what we do and who we are and how we act and how we look, when that's not it at all. Again, he came to save us on the inside. He's done the work. All we've got to do is apply him to our life. So it says, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, the ignorance that is in the world, because of the blindness of their heart. It really spells it out here. It's clear. The blindness of their heart. It's not that they do it necessarily on purpose. Now, I can't say that for all of them. There are some that intentionally are taking children's minds and are twisting children's minds, so when they become adults, they're twisted. They're messed up. But there are sometimes that they are completely blind. They don't realize that they're not operating in the love of God. They don't realize that they're not operating according to the standards that we were born to live by. So bad thinking comes from the lies of the devil, comes from the world. Then the third place that bad thinking comes from is our problems. Our problems? How do I get bad thinking from my problems? It's because we see our problems in a different light than what we should. If we saw our problems in a way that we can grow and that we can expand, that we can be better, if we approached our problems that way, then we would grow from those the way that Christ wants us to grow from. Because remember, it says in the Word that in this life you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Remember that? So basically what he's saying is, be of good cheer, because the things that you're going to face in tribulation are going to help you grow to a place where you have a better life than me. And so we can rejoice in that, because he's already conquered those things. And as we're with him, as we cause him to be the center of our life, then we can face those tribulations. Yeah, they're hard. They're difficult. I don't like them either. But if we face those things in the sight of God and allow him to work us better and grow us better in him, then we can see it through the face of God. We can see our problems as an impossibility, or we can see our problems as a possibility to become better and become new. We're going to face problems either way. That's good news. We're going to face problems either way. When I graduated from a, this is a silly illustration, when I graduated from a Yamaha 80 when I was a kid, when my dad thought I was big enough to get a Yamaha 125, man, I was ready to tear out. Going from an 80 to a 125, I was growing. I was scared a little bit, but you know what? As I said, it's a silly illustration, but I felt like, man, I was growing. I was getting, I was more horsepower, more dirt I can kick up. See, as we go from a child to an adult, there are growing pains. And going from a child to an adult, Bailey right now, 2.5 years old, and our other grandchildren, Zelda 3 and Silas 5, they're growing, and there are growing pains. But you know what? They don't really like those growing pains right now. They don't like to be in trouble. They don't like to be told no. They don't like that at all. But you know what? When they become 25 years old and 30 years old, they'll all three thank mom and dad for those difficult times of training, of pouring into them to cause them to be the adult that they will be. But without that, they can't be the adult that they're intended to be. So it is the same with us. God doesn't cause those problems that you're facing this week. God, the challenges that you faced last week, whether it was moving, whether it's finances, whether it's relationships, whether it was losing a loved one, I mean, all those things have happened in our church family this past week. As we face those things, we can face those things with God telling us, I'm not causing this, but I'm going to use this to make you stronger, to cause you to draw closer to me, to cause you to love me more, to appreciate me more, and to help someone else. And so with that in mind, we can say, God, thank you. Thank you for the things that I face, that you love me enough that you're walking with me through that hard time. And so our problems, if we look at them anything contrary to that, then our problems can cause depression. Why am I having this problem? Why does this always happen to me? Why don't I have enough money to make my obligation? Why do I have to face this sickness? Why have I got to be in the hospital? Why have I got to have this test ran? Why do I have to be nervous and to stress out about this thing? So we look at our problem that way rather than looking at our problem the other way, as I explained. And so problems can confuse us if we continually stare at them. Continuing to stare at that problem, focusing on that problem, and so we do become confused. It's like we're consumed with that problem rather than consumed in the one that will solve the problem. Psalm 10:1 says, why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Can you believe David would write that? Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Did the Lord stand afar off from David? No. Why do you hide in times of trouble? Was God hiding in times of trouble? But that's what David was focused on. That's what he truly believed. He thought that was true. He thought God was hiding from his trouble. He thought God was afar off, letting him get his problems himself. No, God was not that way. But David wrote this to show us that when we focus on our problem, it confuses us. It distorts our thinking. It causes us to see things that really is not there. It causes us to look at God and say, well, you're far from me. You don't care anything about me. You're hiding from my problem. And so David is venting. He's confused. He's angry. He's hurting. Does anybody hear me? Psalm 10:17 says, Lord, you have heard the desire of my humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear. Now, is this the same dude that's writing these verses? It sounds like something has changed. He's confused. One hand, God's hiding. And the other hand, God, you're preparing their heart. You'll cause your ear to hear. How can we be consistent in our thinking with the Word of God? How can we be consistent in believing who Jesus Christ is all the time in spite of our problems, in spite of what we're thinking? Psalm 13, this is what David says. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you forget me? Can you believe that? Any one of us could have written this at some point in our life, couldn't we? Probably this past week, one of you, two of you, five of you, 10, 12, 20 of you wrote this. You forget me forever. How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long will my enemy be exalted over me? Then, in verse 6 of Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. going through difficulties and we're confused about who God is and how big he is. If that's not enough, let me show you something else. In Lamentations chapter 3, you want an encouraging word? Jeremiah writes in Lamentations 3, I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Now he's talking about Jesus. He's talking about God. Surely God has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He's aged my flesh and my skin, and he's broken my bones. Here's a word for you. Put that on your refrigerator. He's besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. There you go. That don't sound like God, does it? Well, he sure believed it. Jeremiah writes in verse 6, he set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He's hedged me. I mean, it's humorous, but really see the truth in this. See how devastating Jeremiah is here. He's hedged me and so that I cannot get out. I mean, God has hedged him in where he can't get out. He's made my chain heavy. Who ever had a chain from God? Even when I cry out and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He's blocked my ways with honed stone. He has made my paths crooked. He has been to me a bear lying in wait like a lion in an ambush. He's turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He's made me desolate. He has bent his bow and set me up as a target for his arrow. Wow. I guess he's having a bad day. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. We'll sing that one next Sunday. He's filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. It doesn't sound good. That is not good. He has also broken my teeth with gravel. Goodness gracious. We see the depth and the hurting and the moaning, the pain of his soul. He's broken my teeth with gravel, covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Poor Jeremiah. But then let's flip over to verse 19 of Lamentations 3 right there next. Remember my affliction and my roaming, the wormwood and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. Remember what David said a while ago? It's what I remember. It's what I'm thinking about. The thoughts that cause the depression. But look at the very next verse. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Do you feel that? Therefore, some of you need to say, therefore, I have hope. Say it. Therefore, I have hope. We've all had similar thoughts. We've all faced similar situations. Verse 22 of Lamentations 3, through the Lord's mercy we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness. To change the way I think, I've got to have my mind renewed. How can I have my mind renewed? How can I change my thinking? What can I do to snap out of this state? As I said a while ago, many times this is a process, and I'm sensitive to that. But all I'm here to do today is to show you the Word of God. Romans 12 and verse 2 says this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable, and look at this, perfect will of God. Can we have a perfect will of God? It says we can. By what? Renewing our mind. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 8, verses 5 and 6. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds, there it goes again, our thinking, those who live according to the flesh set their thoughts, their mind, what they're thinking on things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, capital S, Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the things of the Spirit, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is, now under these three words, life and peace. To have the mind of Christ brings life and peace. Life and peace are completely, totally opposite of depression. Depression will not bring life and peace, but the Spirit of God, by renewing our mind through Jesus Christ, will bring us life and peace. Life and peace are two things that this world is seeking. And you know what? You have the answer through Jesus Christ. Life and peace, it says, to be spirit-minded, to have our minds renewed, to think on things of God. This is not a temporary fix. There's not a side note here that says that'll go away Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock. It doesn't say that here. There's no notation of that. So I'm thinking that if we do this, let's try it. I'm thinking if we do this, it'll be permanent as long as we dwell in the Spirit and are not carnally minded. Well, you say that's impossible. We're human. How are we going to be spirit-minded in all that we do? Well, we can be. We can make our default in whatever we face and whatever we're doing, whether it's work, whether it's hobby, whether it's time of problems, whether it's time meeting with the banker, whether it's time going through the mail. All these things, our foundation, our basis, our default will be and can be that we trust in God to supply our needs, that we are spiritually minded and saying, you know what, God, I'm going to renew my mind in you to cause my thinking to be according to your thinking, not my thinking according to the world's thinking. We see that his thinking, his way, brings life and peace. To change the way I think, I must renew my mind. I've got to renew my mind. Unless I can renew my mind, unless I can allow the Word of God to renew my mind, then I can't change the way I'm thinking. Isaiah 43:19, we started with today. I will do a new thing. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So let me give you the key to a new beginning, to take out depression, to live life and peace. It's this: read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You say, well, can't you come up with a bigger answer than that? This is why the Word of God, this was written by the direction of the Holy Spirit. This is why every problem that we have in life comes from here. And if we allow this to be our instruction and our roadmap in anything that we face, we will always come through successfully. You may think it's a little late. You may think that the timing is not real good. You may think that it's just not working. But stay with it. Anything that brings good at all, you will have to be consistent in it. You have to stay consistent. You can't do it for one day or 2 days and say, well, it's not working, I'm going to go back to my old ways. Well, you know what? The results will be your old results. But until you rely on the Word of God and cause this to be your lifeline, if you'll stay consistent in that, you will see a new thing in your life. I guarantee it. I'm living proof. Not that I always did it, but what I did do, it came out of this. What I did do came out of this. What life that I am experiencing comes out of the Word of God. All credit is due to Him. Every bit of it. So if we want to have a new beginning, we want to have a new thing in our life, and He's promising that He'll bring it forth, we've got to focus on Him today. Amen? We've got to focus on the Word of God. We've got to make this our lifeline and not cause the news or what this one says or what that one thinks to be our lifeline. But if we go to the Word of God, He will bring us a new beginning. And that area, whether it's light depression or whether it's heavy depression, whether it's a life just completely bound up in depression, nothing is impossible with Jesus Christ. No matter how big it may seem to you, God is bigger. What are you facing this week? God is bigger. What challenge are you facing in your life? God is bigger. There is nothing bigger than God. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Let's stand together. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Father, calls us to hear your word this morning. Calls us, Lord, to hear your promises. Calls us, Father, to see the life and the peace that you want to bring to us. Never changing, never wavering. Lord, your life and peace has nothing to do with the stock market. Lord, your life and peace has nothing to do with my bank account. Lord, your life and peace has nothing to do with my career. Your life and peace is wrapped up in your word. And all the devils in hell cannot take that from us. Calls us to believe that today. To believe it to the point so much that we apply it to our life every single day. Lord, calls us to have a life of peace. Calls us, Father, to have a life of fruitfulness in you. Calls us, Lord, to have a life to where we're excited about what's coming up. Lord, calls us to be able to look at our problems and say, you know what? I don't know how, but God's going to bring me through this. Calls us, Father, to look at every challenge in our life as another opportunity to show how big and powerful you are. God, I speak that to every, God, just infuse that into every mind and spirit right now, Lord, that we can see, we can catch a glimpse of how big you are, mainly that you're bigger than anything we'll face, mainly that you're bigger than any challenge we face, mainly that you're bigger than any problem that we may come across in our life. You are bigger, and nothing is impossible with you. God, may you get that in our spirit today. And Lord, may you also remind us that you love us and that you gave your life for us. And God, when we think there's nobody in this entire world that loves us, nobody cares about us, nobody wants us to do well, Lord, may we remember that you are first, you are number one on our cheerleading team. God, you are pushing us along. You are there to encourage us. You are there to give us the answer. You are there to give us the lifeline. Lord, you're there to prepare the way. Lord, you're there to bring a river in the desert. God, you're there to bring life. You're there to bring peace. God, if we forget everything else, God, may we remember that you are there to bring us to the point of victory over everything we face. God is bigger. God is bigger. Wow, let that settle in for just a moment. Let that simmer for just a minute.